Well, God bless everybody tonight, and I think that maybe we can call it a night after those manifestations, because God's already told you what I have to share. It just amazes me how the manifestations sometimes just say in so few words what God's heart is for us. And but I suppose since I prepared a teaching, I'll share it with you guys tonight. I thank Barney and Vicki and Bob and Jeannie and Jan for the opportunity to share the word. And what I'd like to share with you tonight is, I have titled it, He is Always With Us. Did we just hear that in Rebecca's manifestation? I'm with you. And, well, now before the Lord Jesus Christ was arrested, one of the things he told his disciples is that in this world we would have tribulation. In John chapter 16, verse 33, he said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Tonight I'd like to take a look at a familiar record of tribulation that some Old Testament believers experienced. And we can see what we can learn about being victorious over adverse conditions. I know that most believers are very familiar with the record in Daniel chapter 3 of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But I'd like, as you read through this tonight, as we read through it together, that you read it as if you have never heard it before. Very often it's when we look at something with fresh eyes that we see something that we never saw before. So let's look at Daniel chapter 3, and we'll start in verse 1, and we're going to read through this chapter. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king set to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. So this is a big affair here. All the bigwigs are there. Then the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Are we getting the picture that Nebuchadnezzar had set it up? Then a herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore, at that time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he shall be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God who shall deliver you out of my hands? Now here in verses 14 and 15, the king in his anger speaks to the young men and gives them two choices. The first choice is you can bow down and worship the image. Or, the second choice, you can get thrown into the fiery furnace. You pick. So let's read their response. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so that you throw us into the fiery furnace, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. So here they're responding to choice number two. And we often do this. Do you ever get a text and somebody says a whole bunch of things, and then they end the text with a question or a statement, and the first thing you respond to them with is the last thing they asked you or talked about? That's the same thing here. They're responding to the last thing the king said, that they could be thrown into the fiery furnace. So then what do they say next? But if you don't throw us in, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. That's in response to the first choice the king gave them. You can bow down and worship the image. So often this is taught that they're saying that if you throw us in the furnace, God will deliver us. But even if he doesn't, we're not going to bow. Well, that goes without saying, because they'd just be three little crispy critters in there. They're not going to bow to anything if they get thrown in the furnace. They weren't saying, even if God doesn't deliver us. They were saying, if you don't throw us in the fire, we're still not going to bow. And so, but we'll keep reading. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. He was already mad. Now he's full of fury. And the form of his visage or his face was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore, he spoke and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heat. Now, why would he do this? I mean, fire will burn you, whether it's a low fire or one that's 7 times hotter than it was intended to be. Maybe he was trying to manipulate them, to get them to change their mind, to full of fear. Have we ever seen situations get worse when we've prayed for something and we think, oh no, well, I'll just give in to the way somebody else wants me to do things? Well, they didn't give in. Okay, so verse 20. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Now think about the drama that's going on. I mean, I'm sure these guys weren't just hanging around. And then he says, oh, you over there, come throw these guys in the fire. Oh, no. They had to go out and get these guys, and they're making a real production of throwing these guys in the furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But notice it didn't burn them up, but it burned up the guys who threw them in. So that's the beginning of the miracle that God is working here. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound, into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. So they fell down. It's not like they walked into a room. They fell down into the furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men bound. No, they're loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Perhaps the only effect the fire had on them was to loose them from the bondage of having their hands and feet tied. Sometimes the situations that are intended to defeat us actually bring us into a status of being loosed. We're no longer bound. We're loosed because God is at work. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Now, why didn't the fire burn up Nebuchadnezzar if it was so hot that it burned up the guys that threw the three in? Interesting question there. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth out of the midst of the fire. Now the king noticed that the men were no longer bound, but they had somehow been loosed. He also saw another man, an angel. And if you look look up the phrase sons of God refers to the angels. They're referred to as sons of God because God created them. One thing that the king didn't notice was that the men were crying, whining, and scrambling to get out of the furnace, even though they were loose. That's not what they were doing. They were experiencing the very thing that they had said would happen, that God would deliver them from the fire, and they were not focused on their circumstances. They were in the fire. Surely they had no idea how God would deliver them, only that he would deliver them. And so into the fire they went. The king had to call them and tell them to come out of the furnace. They came forth out of the midst of the fire. Now, just a little side note here for those of you who might want to do some additional study. I think it would be very eye-opening if you were to study the phrase in the midst. There are very many different records where something supernatural happens in the midst. Anyway, the three men came out of the fire, and they must have been quite the spectacle after that incident. How many people, perhaps, returned to the one true God or were turned to him because of the actions and the boldness of these men who were not afraid to trust him? They took a stand. Sometimes life can be hard, and we have to deal with things that we would much rather not. Nobody volunteers for the fiery furnace. At least no normal person does. Surely these three men weren't thinking about being a topic of Bible study classes for centuries to come as a result of the stand they took. They had to have their trust in God from the moment that the first measure of that music was played, and they had to hang in there until the end, and we must do the same. Let's close in 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, we'll start in verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Yes, sometimes life brings us fiery trials, and we have to be prepared, because it's not that maybe something will come up. There will always be something that comes up, if not directly in your own life, but in the life of someone who you love, that you're close to, and because we're one body, we feel what happens to other members of the body. I'd like to close with a beautiful song by Janie Grine called More Than Conquerors and Count It All Joy, because that's what we do. We count it all joy when we fall into these trials and tribulations. God bless you.
There's no reason for you to go astray. don't be leaning to your understanding. Lean on Him and we'll all stand.
We've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life. We've been made victorious
through the blood of Jesus Christ. Count it all joy, my brothers and my sisters, when you fall into temptation. Count it all joy, knowing the trying of your faith. The trying of your faith will bring you patience. Count it all joy. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire.
Count it all joy, wanting nothing, perfect and entire.
God Himself.